Our next guest joins us every other Thursday. We're so happy and delighted that she takes time out of her busy schedule to join us. She is House Republican Leader Themis Claridis. Themis, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. Always good music.
Aw, jeez, you know how to compliment a fella. How are you doing this morning?
Okay, I do enjoy the humidity, though, I must say.
The humidity, the heat, you know, I guess we're breaking away from the humidity today, so it's going to be like an old-fashioned summer afternoon.
I don't know. It seems pretty humid out.
Oh, really?
It's all relative, though, right?
Listen, it's August, right?
Yep, my birthday month, Gary.
Yeah, that's right. Didn't I wish you a happy birthday? I thought I did.
Yeah, of course. Okay. I'm saying it's a great month.
It is a great month. It's the month that Themis was. What about your sister, Nicole? What month was she born in?
November.
Oh, okay.
Representative Claridis Detria and Representative Rabimbas are the same birthday, November 17th.
No kidding. Look at that.
Yeah.
Right, let me write this down here. send them my cards. my e-card. So let's talk about this. There's a couple things I want to talk to you about. Well, I want to talk to you about the primaries on Tuesday. But really, before we even get to that, really quickly, I saw the news release that the House Republicans put out a couple of days ago regarding Denise Merrill bungling absentee balloting for the primaries.
Yeah, well, you know that 2 weeks ago, I think at this point, we were in special session.
Yeah.
And one of the issues we took up was supposed to be extending absentee ballots to allow people who are concerned, and rightfully so, mm-hmm. about going to vote in person on election day because they're concerned about COVID, mm-hmm. to be able to legally get an absentee ballot. Because remember now, under our Constitution, there's only, you know, 5 or 6 legal reasons you can get one. If you're in the military, if we're in session, if you're sick, if you're out of state, those kind of things. Now, we all know people get absentee ballots and nobody checks them. Okay, so let's be honest about how this all actually works. And if the legislature would like to change that, the Constitution, as you know, again, there is a legal process in the legislature that we have to go through. But for right now, we believe, since we're not in session, and that's a long process, if people are concerned for their health to go to a polling place to vote, they should be able to go and get an absentee ballot. So he said, let's just add, you know, fear of COVID or whatever the legal language would be to our statute. Simple. Literally, there's a list of things. Let's just add that. But no, as usual, the Democrats in the legislature, the governor, the secretary of the state, want to do whatever they can to try and sneak in all little things they couldn't get done in session this year, last year, the year before.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that doesn't surprise me. Yeah.
It's ridiculous. So we fought a lot of them and actually, you know, succeeded. One of the things was there was no end date in it. And I said, well, when will this end? And this is when we're all negotiating this. And the speaker said to me, oh, when the health pandemic ends. I said, who makes that decision? Right? There's not like a day certain the health pandemic ends. Mm-hmm. I said, let's put a date certain, November 3rd, 2020. Right? That's this election, and we're doing this for this election. Okay. Well, then they had vaccine language. This could end when there's a vaccine. Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, that could be years from now. Let's be honest. There could be a vaccine in it, and maybe people don't feel comfortable with it. I mean, those are not ways you make legislation, right? But one of the things was a third-party vendor, the towns, instead of the normal process now, right? I want an absentee ballot. I go to my town hall. I get an application. I take 2 minutes. I fill it out. I give it back to him or her. They send me a ballot. I mail it in, mm-hmm. or I drop it off. Simple. They wanted all the towns to take those applications and send them out of state.
What?
To a third-party vendor. We put in an amendment on the floor during special session to change this. We begged her, the governor, the Democrat leaders, for weeks before special session. So it's not like we didn't bring it up. They insisted on keeping it in there. We were concerned about the chain of custody, where it would go, who had it, when it would come back. You know, very, very serious and important things. Refused to change it. What happened the Friday before this past election? Denise Merrill, the Secretary of State, came out and said, I fired the third party vendor. I didn't feel comfortable with what they were doing.
Oh.
So now everybody's stuck in this no man's land, these town clerks, who are overwhelmed as it is, right? Well, what do we do? So they had to scramble to figure out where do we get the ballots, where are they, et cetera, et cetera. Then on Monday, this past week, I don't know if you heard this, the Secretary of State's office confused Cromwell with Cornwall. They flipped their ballots. Cornwall, who still had no power at that point, ended up with a FedEx box of ballots on their front porch.
How do you? How long has she been living here?
Gary, I have to be honest with you. My level of frustration and disgust is beyond. You know, we should be investigating this whole process. We have asked for that. If you can't get, we have the third smallest state in the country. If you cannot get two towns straight in your head, you certainly can't expand any ability to vote. We absolutely agreed that you are concerned about COVID. You shouldn't be able to vote. You shouldn't be forced to pick between your voting rights and your health. We absolutely agreed. All they had to do, Gary, was put five words into this and call it a day. Instead, they're always finagling and backdooring it and trying to sneak different words and language to change things that we did not agree to change.
The Secretary of State confused Cornwall and Cromwell. The Secretary of State, let me make sure I comprehend this right.
Her office.
Oh, my goodness. This is their job. They should be dotting their I's and crossing their T's. I mean, this isn't just some little small little oversight. This is huge.
The bigger problem, quite frankly, was this third-party vendor. That was the bigger problem. I mean, for weeks we had been bringing our concerns to her, to the governor, to the legislative leaders. And their answer was, no, 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 it's fine, we're comfortable. We had so many concerns about who these people were, what they did, not them personally, right, but just their ability. Why can't the towns handle it? They always do. Maybe give them a few extra days, right? That's fine. If we think they're going to be too many absentee ballots to handle in the normal amount of time, that would be reasonable, right? But at least your towns are handling it. Your towns who know people, mm-hmm. who know the area, who have done this before, and we at least know that they know. So the fact that we brought this up for weeks on end, and then the Friday before the primary, she fires them because she didn't feel comfortable with what they were doing. Yeah. There were concerns. Oh, and you didn't figure that out before?
All right. The writing was on the wall, and everybody's basically telling you this.
Everybody wasn't. The Republicans were telling her.
Well, the Republicans were. Pardon me.
The town clerks were telling her this, Republican and Democrat throughout the state. The people who were not telling her this were her office, the governor, the Democrat legislative leaders. As usual.
We're talking with House Republican leader Themis Claridis. Do you think people use COVID as an excuse arbitrarily, like whenever they want, whenever it's more convenient to them?
For anything, you mean?
Well, you know, I can't go vote. I'm going to go use the COVID-19 excuse because they're giving it to me as a reason for me not to vote in person. But I'm going to go to Walmart and hang out there and for an hour as I go up and down the aisles, and they have no issues with that and stand in that line. It's almost like if you're concerned about the COVID-19, then be concerned all the time rather than picking and choosing. Different issues, whether they, do you follow what I'm saying at all a little bit? Or?
It cannot be a Chinese menu of what you're concerned about.
Exactly.
You can pick and choose.
They're cherry picking.
I agree with you, but listen, let's be honest. We all have a priority in our minds, whether it's conscious or subconscious, right? Meaning we all say, for example, I'd rather go, something that's really important to me is going to see my trainer. Right, but I'm not going to go to the supermarket. I'll have food delivered to me. I'm not going to go to CVS. I'll have them deliver because all these places have these options, so you have a choice. Right, but I want to go to get my nails done once a month.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so that's where I'm going to be around people. And I understand that. I mean, that's where we all make choices. We've all made choices. And I was completely comfortable adding COVID as an excuse for the primary and the general election. I thought that was fair. But what I'm not comfortable with, and I've never been, and I never will be, is the people that use this as an excuse, Gary, for the Democrat leadership, the Secretary of the State, and the governor. They use it as an excuse to be sneaky, and try and change things in our election law, that if you want to change legitimately, you should put a bill in during legislative session. There should be a public hearing in the General Elections and Administration Commission Committee, and there should be a debate and discussion of votes, right? That's how we do it.
That's right.
The Democratic process.
Yep.
We have a process, and it's a good process. It's not perfect, but it's good. And that's how you should do it. That's what I am uncomfortable with and frustrated by, because nobody disagreed that you shouldn't have to go to a polling place. And by the way, let's be honest, most of the people that work at the polling places in our little town are older people.
Yeah. I know, right? Yeah,
and
of course.
And they're at higher risk.
That's right.
So we don't want them at risk either. So we didn't have any problem with the idea of just making that one of the excuses. Our problem is the sneakiness, as usual, of some of our colleagues on the other side in regards to trying to change this. That's the problem, and that's the that's why there's a problem with trust in government.
In government, yeah. We're talking with Themis Claridis, House Republican leader. You know, let's go back to primary day, and you're absolutely right. They are senior citizens that work these polls for the most part. I noticed when I went in to vote on Tuesday that, my goodness, there wasn't even a little line for me to walk, for me to wait in at all. I walked right in and vote. I think from the time I left my car to the time I entered my car was about 120 seconds, which is 2 minutes. That's it. Turnout, but of course it's a primary and turnout is always low for those. How did, let's discuss it. How did Republican, I know it's Republican against Republican, but, any surprises and Democrat against Democrat for that matter, as primaries usually are, any surprises at all in the outcome?
No, we only, as far as the House goes, we had four primaries throughout the state. I think that they, you know, these are low turnout, as you said, and they could turn on a couple votes.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're not supposed to pick sides in primaries, remember?
No, so. Of course not. But were any of the incumbents primaried?
No.
Okay.
But there were people fighting for, like, the outgoing speaker is, you know, that will be an open seat, and there's a primary for that seat.
Okay.
There's a primary down in Lower Fairfield County, that kind of thing.
I see. When you say there was a primary
The Republican, the person that will be running as a Republican
in Arizona,
in the general election,
yeah,
in the general election in November,
okay,
as a Republican, yeah.
And there's nothing being there's nothing that's too close to call right now, or is there? Are they still waiting for absentee ballots to be counted for any of these?
What we had the governor had to do on Monday is, which, you know, again, we didn't like, but I don't think there was any choice at that point, was extend the receipt, when we will accept the receipt of these absentee ballots until today.
Yeah.
As long as you were postmarked by Tuesday, because, right, you have the Cornwall-Cromwell situation, you have people, because the Secretary of the State fired a third-party vendor on Friday, 5 days before the election, and quite frankly, two business days before the election, we were concerned, people, she was concerned, we would have been concerned forever, that everybody wasn't going to be able to get their ballot and be able to vote and then get it in time. So we certainly, you know, the whole goal of this bill is to make sure people didn't have to choose between their right to vote and their health, make sure people weren't disenfranchised. We hear that word all the time, right?
Yeah, of course.
In regards to voting and, you know, who supports the right to vote and who doesn't. And what she did in the end is potentially disenfranchise people and let their vote not be counted. And that was the shame of this whole thing. But so we've extended it till today. I know in the second congressional district, there is, as of last night, there was a close vote in that district. So we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah, I know. And that's just a terrible story. We talked about that, not only yesterday, but even last, was it yesterday we talked about that, Christian? Yeah. In last week or a couple of weeks ago, Gilmer, right? Is his name? No. He turned himself in. And should he win, what happens to that? Because he's already withdrew himself, right?
Right. Well, I was reading, I'm no expert in election law, but I was reading the same thing we were all reading yesterday.
Yeah.
He said he withdrew from the race, but it was too late because it was the morning of the primary.
Yeah, crazy.
So, I mean, they can't just go. I mean, the ballots have been printed for weeks.
Yeah.
So his name was on the ballot.
Well, in the absentee ballots.
The process he has to go through. I mean, regardless of whether it was absentee or not, I mean, you can't walk into the polling place and scratch somebody's name off on election day, right?
Yeah.
Even the regular ballots.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a whole process he has to go through withdrawing his name, and if he wins, you know, God forbid, then there's a problem.
Yeah, we're hearing that there might be other people, more high-profile names, that might be tossing their name into that ring for the second congressional district. Hey, really quickly, we've got about a minute left. I had read on Facebook that my former colleague, Jesse McLaughlin, has decided not to run again. Was that a shock to you?
Well, you know, Jesse was somebody that, you know, I'd worked closely with since he ran the first time. He was 24 years old when he first got elected. Obviously, any of us at 24, we're hopefully not at the maturity level. We will be when we get older. He has struggled with running again. I spent the last 8 months convincing him to run again, and he finally decided to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he started out slowly with his fundraising and hadn't raised much money. And then after a special session a few weeks ago, he had a difficulty with the bill vote, and he struggled a lot with it. And I think he's just been struggling with whether he really likes this job, whether he feels comfortable with it. And he called me on whatever day it was, Monday, Tuesday, and said he was going to be withdrawing his name from the race, which is too bad. I mean, it's a shame all of this happened the way it happened. It's a shame that, you know, he made this decision at such a late date. Clearly, it makes it more difficult to find a candidate. We have a very good candidate. There are several people that were interested. John Hall is running, and he is a very, very good candidate. He's going to work really hard, and we're all going to help him get qualified for his election funds.
Good.
But
good to hear.
You know,
yeah.
Yep.
Well, listen, I appreciate your time this morning. I know you're busy. Keep up the great work fighting for, you know, Republican values. And, I know it's an uphill battle. I also know that you're going into session again in September, right? Is there a date on that?
That's the plan.
All right.
You know, I think everybody was so exhausted from being in session for 24 hours and how difficult those votes were, and the unfortunate legislation that passed. We really haven't talked about a date or a time, but the tentative idea is September.
Thanks so much. Themis Claridis, House Republican leader. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks. Have a great day.